Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com. Here today with Brian Robb, who writes for everybody. He's here with 98.5, the Sports Hub, CBS Sports Boston. We are in Salt Lake City, where we just heard about the news, Gordon Hayward's announcement that he has signed or will sign with the Boston Celtics. Just a really stupid day with a lot of mystery, a lot of denials, reports, denials. People went dark, and then finally, Gordon Hayward decided announced his decision to go to the Boston Celtics. B Rob, does this redeem everything about Danny Ainge's summer to date with the decision not to go after Jimmy Butler and the failure to get Paul George? Is this kind of like none of that matters at all?
Yeah, no, I think this is the move that salvages the summer, Jay, in the sense that, you know, I think particularly like Paul George is a guy, you look at that deal from the Celtics standpoint, the way he went out, the timing of that deal, you can't fault the Celtics for that given
the how way stupid are the Pacers?
Right, exactly. Like the Pacers right now are probably looking at this and if there is, you know, you would imagine right now the Celtics front office would be putting together a nice little offer for him if George was still available. Now, obviously, they're settling for an overpaid Oladipo and, you know, a middling Sabonis. So, but to answer your bigger question, I just think, yeah, this is a deal where Hayward is the guy they, I feel like, always wanted this offseason, more than Griffin, more than those other guys with the uncertainty of their, you know, future contracts. And now they're set up. They have another big piece of their core in place.
Yeah, and to your point, like I think the biggest reason Danny Ainge took some heat for passing on Jimmy Butler and for passing on Paul George is because of the uncertainty about the whole Gordon Hayward situation. Like he was a free agent, he was considering the Utah Jazz, he was considering the Miami Heat. There was no promise that he was going to land with the Boston Celtics. So when Paul George was out there, people were like, "What are you doing, Danny? You can go after Paul George. It would have been a sure thing if you just put the pieces together. You could have absolutely, absolutely exceeded that Oklahoma City offer." But instead, the Celtics were patient like they have been for a long time, and they must have known that they had a good chance of getting Gordon Hayward going into it because they acted very much like a team that knew they had a good chance of getting Gordon Hayward. Like, they didn't mount any serious run for Jimmy Butler. The Paul George stuff, like, it seems like their offer was... Not even sure their offer was on the table.
Better than, or it was probably better, like, the one a week ago at the draft might have been better than the one the Thunder, at least.
Yeah, but
maybe you people around the league.
But still, there was some talk that maybe they didn't even have the offer on the table the night Indiana actually traded him. So it was clear they wanted to be patient. They wanted to see what happened with Gordon Hayward. And they got their man. So Danny Ainge, as much shit as he has gotten for hoarding assets, I said this on Twitter, his plan to build the core and to add pieces and draft picks and set up this future, it attracted Al Horford, who left a very good situation in Atlanta. He left the team that beat the Celtics in the playoffs that year.
Kind of nuts.
And because he saw the promise there. And then Gordon Hayward left a very good team in Utah because not only do the Celtics have a very good team right now, but they have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum developing, and they have maybe two top five picks next year, and they have all these avenues to build on top of what they already have, which is now a very good young core that could potentially maybe push Cleveland in the Eastern Conference, and then see what happens when these guys start to develop and come into their own.
Yeah, I mean, generally, you look at free agency, Jay, it's a pretty low-odds game in terms of getting a guy to come, especially an all-star player, to come to your team. So for the Celtics to do that, like you said, 2 years in a row now, and give up nothing for Al Horford, for Hayward now, and really have those guys in place to build with and still have, you know, the full arsenal in play to make, you know, whoever that next star that comes available, obviously, we'll hear Anthony Davis forever. Whether that actually happens or not remains to be seen, probably for another year or two, but the Celtics will be ready to pounce here whenever someone comes available. And in the meantime, you know, this is a team that's going to be competitive in the East. I mean, I can't see anyone challenging them for the number two spot for years to come now. I mean, Toronto has a decent core there, but those guys are getting older.
And they're locked into that decent core that probably doesn't have much of a chance to grow like the Celtics do with their young guys. And I think Milwaukee will be a threat moving forward. When you look down, like a lot of the teams have just blasted their rosters this summer. So, yeah, I think the Wizards, although like they can still grow. I think Bradley Beal has another level of reach. I think John Wall is obviously great. I think Otto Porter could still improve, assuming they keep him, which I think they'll match probably any offer sheet he gets. But yeah, the Celtics, they definitely separated themselves from the rest of the Eastern Conference, with the exception of Cleveland, which was necessary because last year, obviously, like Toronto might have been better than Boston, and they just ran into Cleveland earlier in the playoffs. And the Wizards, obviously, were right there with Boston. And even Chicago in round one, like, it wasn't a blowaway series. So adding Gordon Hayward and adding to this team and kind of separating themselves from the rest of the Eastern Conference, I think, is very important because now they're firmly established as the number two and the top challenger to LeBron James in an Eastern Conference. That's just disgusting. One thing you said is that they got Gordon Hayward for free, and it wasn't really for free. So they've already renounced the rights to Kelly Olynyk.
Right.
And now they're going to have to make at least one additional move.
Right.
We're assuming right now that either Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley will go. It could potentially be Jay Crowder, but because of his contract, which has three more years on it, it seems like keeping that value is huge compared to the uncertainty that would come with Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart, who are both free agents a year from now. So what do you think the Celtics do next from here? Is it just call everybody and see what offers they can get for Bradley and Smart and maybe even Crowder and see what's best?
Yeah, I think that's the way to handle this. You take the temperature around the league for the reasons you mentioned. I think Crowder is probably, you know, a favorite to stay among that group because they are going to, as they run into, you know, when Isaiah Thomas wants to get paid, if they want to plan on keeping him, they're going to need some cheap value guys on good deals on this roster. But at the same time, anyone can be had at the right price right now. And I'll be curious to see how long this drags out, Jay, in the sense that, you know, Hayward has a commitment there. You can obviously sign him as soon as the moratorium lifts, which is on Thursday. But is there going to be a big rush there, or are the Celtics going to wait to see how, you know, more dominoes fall in free agency around the league? Maybe the market for these guys improves as other guys go off the board. So that's going to be interesting to see how long this kind of drags out.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm interested to see which guy they end up moving because obviously Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart are two very different players. I think they both bring a lot of value in different ways. And I don't know who they'd be better off keeping. I think Avery Bradley was a better player this past year.
Yeah.
I think Marcus Smart is younger. Marcus Smart is a restricted free agent. And Marcus Smart's a bigger guard who gives him more versatility, I think, with he can play the three. Although he didn't play it well and it didn't necessarily lead to winning when he was at the three. But he can do that, and that's something Avery Bradley really isn't big enough to do.
Right.
So they've got choices, they've got decisions to make, but like I've said before, those are good decisions because they come because you got Gordon Hayward. And Gordon Hayward, let's just talk about what he can do for them, because in a lot of ways, he's such a perfect fit. Like, they needed a secondary playmaker. Boom, here's Gordon Hayward, who can run pick and rolls and, you know, slice through defenses and do all this stuff. They needed more size on the wing. Well, here's Gordon Hayward, who's 6'7", and definitely hit the weight room hard over the past few years after he was a gangly little nerd for a while. And then, you know, he can play off the ball with Isaiah. He can handle the ball and pick and rolls if they need him to. He can play three in small lineups. He can probably play the two in... He can definitely play the two in supersized lineups.
Like, absolutely.
He gives them so much versatility and just another weapon. Their offense, like Eastern Conference Eastern Conference playoffs, they were starting Gerald Green a lot of the time because they needed shooting and because they needed size in their small lineups. And it's like, to go from Gerald Green to Gordon Hayward is just such a massive leap. And he does, he gives you all, everything that Gerald Green gave you, and then like infinite amounts more. Although he probably won't be.
Hey, let's not undersell Gerald Green here. No, yeah, I mean Gordon Hayward clearly is something else. Just in terms of everything he can do, he's also just like just a solid all around player. Like all facets of his game, defensively, he's there. He's in the right spot. He's not gonna, you know, he's not a stopper, but that's someone who's gonna be respectable. You know, at multiple positions guarding on that end of the floor. And, yeah, you just... People forget, you know, Isaiah Thomas, how much he rescued this team last year in those fourth quarters, in the regular season, in the playoff games, in the, you know, in the bowl series, those fourth quarters he had there too. That having... Counting on that to happen again would have been too much, I feel like. And that was kind of made this offense kind of, you know, overrated this year in terms of what they did. Bring in Hayward now allows Brad Stevens to kind of sustain this. Really, again, you have shooters all over the floor now. You can get away with maybe playing a bigger guy in the front court with Horford because you have so much good shooting elsewhere. It really opens up a lot of doors in terms of what Stevens wants to do.
It'll be interesting to see who else will be in their front court.
Yep.
Like, right now it's Al Horford, it's Ante Zizic, and it's nobody.
Yep.
Like, Jordan Mickey probably going to have to go because he has a non-guaranteed contract. And to make room for Gordon Hayward's deal, or at least that's a possibility.
Right. I mean, Jordan Mickey's not going to be on this team next year. I think. Yeah, I feel pretty safe saying that.
So I feel like they are set up to play a ton of small ball, and they went out and drafted Jason Tatum. They've got Jaylen Brown developing. They went and got Shimi Ogele in the draft, who's 6'7" and 240 pounds, and just an absolute sculpted monster. So they have more pieces that can fit into that small ball lineups, and really, like, they don't have any bigs right now. So Brad Stevens is just going to have skill on the court all the time. I think they're going to run, they're going to gun, they're going to share the ball. Like, with Horford, Hayward, and Thomas in the starting lineup, they're going to score a ton of points. The ball is going to be whipping around because all those guys create for others. All those guys get into the paint. All those guys are good passers in addition to being scorers. So I really think that their small ball units have potential to be really, really freaking good. And like you said, if they do go bigger, now all of a sudden you've got shooting everywhere where maybe it doesn't matter that you have Ante Zizic on the floor and it's not as much a hindrance to have a guy who doesn't space the court because everywhere else they're shooters.
Right. And the interesting question now, I mean, we saw a little bit of Zizic already. I'm not sure he does a lot of things that can help right away. Foot speed-wise could be an issue with him after watching him labor up and down. He looked like the Chief going up down floor, I feel like, 15 years into his career in that first summer league game. But it will be interesting to see just their philosophy of the starting five. They kind of feel like been erring from playing Horford at the five, you know, for 36 minutes a night early on. But you could conceivably, you know, if you keep Jay Crowder, you could start him at the four.
Yeah.
And just go roll with that and see how that looks.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows It will also impact whether they trade Avery Bradley, whether they trade Marcus Smart. That'll be have obviously an impact on the starting five. But yeah, who else they get? Like, can they sign? Can they go out and sign a ring chasing free agent or one right. of those veteran free agents who wants a really good situation? That could
wants
be
a lot of playing time too.
Yeah, like that front court is set up for a big who wants to compete and wants to play. So we'll see. There's still a lot of decisions to be made. Still a lot of roster changes to come. Celtics, they got their man Gordon Hayward after a long day. That Players Tribune post was so damn long, by the way. Like, that took me forever to read. I was trying to put together my post, and I was like, "Damn it, Gordon! Like, you're a long-winded motherfucker, man."
Did you get a word count on that? What did we?
I think it was 2100.
Wow.
2100.
I wonder it took all day.
Yeah, right. The other thing I want to talk about briefly was Rudy Gobert going on Instagram and putting out a little video singing to "These Hoes Ain't Loyal," a clear shot at Gordon Hayward. And this is my mini rant. Shut up. It's so stupid. He's your teammate. He's your friend. And maybe he's just having fun with it.
Yeah.
Like,
we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see whether he's serious or what. But if he's serious, it's so over the top and so dumb. Gordon Hayward went to a better team with a better future and more flexibility in an easier conference. Like, you can't blame somebody for that. And I know, like, these guys are competitors and they don't want to lose guys to another team. But Brett, let's stop with the over-the-top upsetness. Like when the reports came out that they were excited, he was excited about possibly playing with Ricky Rubio, and he was excited about Joe Ingles going back. It's like, well, the Jazz are kind of locking themselves into like a ceiling, and meanwhile, the Celtics have all these draft picks and all these possibilities, and so I don't know. To me, Boston was obviously the better basketball situation. But Utah had a clear sell from the standpoint of familiarity and still being a really good team with room to grow with their young roster.
Yeah, and I think, Jay, what might have put it over the top for the Celtics' favor is just the last week in the West. And the West was already a juggernaut, and then it became now just like, are the Jazz going to even get out of the first round? Even if Hayward stayed there, that would have been a challenge when you have the Rockets, the Spurs, the Warriors, obviously, and the now Thunder. The Thunder with yeah. two clear cut top 20 guys. The Celtics, like you said, they had everything in place. They have the easier path. Who knows where LeBron's going to be in a year or two? You put all that in play there, and yeah, like also Jazz, like they didn't give the loyalty card there. They didn't find him to the max. He had to go get the max a few years ago. So not that he would use that against him, but like, it's a two-way street there for these, you know, players and these teams. They have the right to, guys have the right to go to where they want, and, you know, they finally get a chance to hit the market, and we saw what happened.
I'm excited to see what Brad Stevens could do with these guys. With, like, he made magic happen with just Isaiah Thomas a lot of the time, and now he's got Isaiah Thomas and Gordon Hayward. It's going to be fun to watch some of the stuff that Brad draws up. I'm pumped to come to this team. Like, I just think they're going to be really, really fun to watch. They're going to play a really, really entertaining style. They're going to be up and down and shooting tons of threes. And they're going to be good. They're going to be good. It's going to be fun, B-Rob. It's going to be fun.
What's your starting five going to be here? Let's get a prediction on the record. Is
Isaiah, Marcus?
I wonder if they start
Jalen
over
Marcus. Yeah, could be Jalen. But then they could trade Marcus.
We could trade Marcus. They could trade anyone. This is going to be a good guess.
I think they'll go small.
Yeah.
I think because they just don't have enough bigs.
Yeah.
And they'll kind of have to go small unless... And I think, you know, what's weird about the NBA is that every team or most teams start traditional. But it, like, if you were the one team that started small, like, you could just take advantage of that, right? Like, you could just stretch teams out from the beginning and kind of do that. So I think the Celtics are set up to start small. I don't know what type of impact that would have on Jay Crowder, on Al Horford, obviously that's a tough ask, to ask Horford to be your five all the time and to ask Crowder to bang with big guys a lot of the time. But the league is getting smaller. The league is getting more skilled. So, like whereas Crowder, he used to have to bump with, like, Zach Randolph when he was at the four right. 3 years ago. And now it's like he's playing another guy basically his size or maybe a little taller.
Right.
It's not the same type of physical ask as it used to be. So we'll see. We'll see. Who's your starting lineup?
Yeah, so I think they'll – if Bradley gets traded, I think they will start Jalen at the two.
Ooh.
And then go Cameron three. And then unless they trade for someone in that Brad – maybe try to trade for a cheap big in that Bradley deal. Maybe that guy starts. But other than that, you know, go like you – almost if you go small, go Crowder, go Horford. Start out like that. See if it works. See if, you know, those guys can handle the beating.
You know what's cool?
What's that?
Their offense might not crater without Isaiah Thomas on the court anymore.
How about that?
Because now they might have Gordon Hayward on the court all the time. So that's another layer to it. Anyway, we'll wrap this up. We've been talking for a while. We got to go get some dinner here in Salt Lake City. We appreciate you listeners. If you want to subscribe to us, if you don't subscribe already, first of all, you're stupid. Second of all, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you listen to your podcast. Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else, Google Play, whatever. Give us a 5-star rating if you can. Just prop us up. We need your praise. We're egotistical maniacs, and we need that. So please do that. We appreciate you listening. It's Gordon Hayward, man. Gordon freaking Hayward. That's it for this episode of Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.